This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by MaddenTips.com, the home of This Week in Madden, which is streamed live on Twitch.tv/MaddenTips every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned later in the show, too, for a terrific Madden Tip of the Week, thanks to MaddenTips.com. This episode of the Press Row Podcast is also brought to you, of course, by Operation Sports. Operation Sports is your home for sports video gaming news, insight, rosters, sliders, and online communities, and, of course, the Press Row Podcast, and so much more, too. Operation Sports, dedicated to sports gaming.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. All right, we are back. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Press Row Podcast for your Friday, November 7th, 2014. I'm excited. We got a fun show for you tonight. And as usual, we have an all-star cast with us. So let's just get right to it. Moving from left to right on your radio. Up first, we have a man so good at running the virtual Jacksonville Jaguars that he's been named a candidate to run the real team in real life. From Pasta Padre, Mr. Brian Weedye. Brian, welcome to the show.
I don't think that qualifies me technically. Just taking the Jaguars to a 9-7 record. You know, I feel like I dropped some games that I could have picked up there and actually made the playoffs. But I was eliminated going into the last week, and you know, I'm going to have like $60 million to spend in free agency, so watch out.
Yes, look out indeed. Up next, a woman who will like your team as long as it's got the name Ham in it. From US Gamer is Kat Bailey. Kat, welcome to the show.
That's factually incorrect, Rich. I hate the Tottenham Hotspurs, so West Ham has shown again and again that they are the superior ham to Tottenham. But it is factually correct that I am a West Ham United fan and also a fan of the Nippon Ham Fighters of Japan, which is Sapporo's team, which is just a weird coincidence. I didn't plan it out like that, but go figure.
There are no better fighters than ham fighters. I think everybody is aware of that. Up next, we have a man about to embark on the worst possible human experience. Moving. From Operation Sports, the executive editor, Mr. Chris Sanner. Chris, welcome to the show.
And you know, I can actually think of one thing that is worse than moving, Rich. And it's very simple. It's being a Dallas Cowboys fan.
But other
than that, you know, there is nothing worse than moving. I do. Oh,
Chris Sanner just opened up a can of worms there.
Sure did. Oh, Steve Noah. Steve Noah, any retort? He's furiously tweeting right now. All right, up next, a man who just loves to live close to the edge of checking account balances. From Polygon, Mr. Owen Good. Owen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rich. I have a complicated money laundering scheme that goes on. it's called put everything on my credit card, then pay it off at the end of the month, and hope that what I put on the credit card isn't more than what I pay off at the end of the month. But if so, I'll stick that with future generations because Medicare and Social Security aren't going to be around for me, but my debt will be around for them, and they can play with that. So how about that?
Good stuff. Up next, we have a man who, well, let's just face it, he likes to park the bus. That sports gamer, Mr. TJ Lowerman. TJ, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rich. Sometimes you get that 2-goal lead, and you just got to park the bus. You don't want to embarrass people.
I'm going to murder you.
Just want to keep it close. A lot of people angry about such a thing, and then you just got to drop 5 on them in the next game. I mean, I don't know what happens.
You play as the cheapest team in the whole game, TJ. The cheapest team.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
All I know is I got more foul language in 2 text messages from Kat Bailey than I've heard her say in my entire, 5 years knowing her after your Press Row Premier League match. It was a little shocking, I must say.
And to add injury to insult, I think I may have sent her goalie to the disabled list.
No, he hasn't.
I tweeted out a picture. It looks like he was put in a very painful predicament. And I did get a accomplishment for a toe poke, but I don't think it's for the reason I thought it should be for.
The good news is that Arsenal's never going to win anything anyway, so.
Oh, boy. Up next, we have a man who is, well, you know, he's dealing, his Destiny addiction is kind of getting in the way of his Netflix addiction. From Polygon, Mr. Sumit Sarkar. Sumit, welcome to the show.
Yeah, you know, these days I'm just keeping up with the weekly TV shows that are on, not really marathoning any catalog or back catalog shows. Finally finished the raid in Destiny last night, so that was pretty cool, except for the loot I got, which was just... Owen knows. Yeah.
All right, so we have got a lot of good stuff to talk about tonight. The two big topics of the night are, number one is sort of a 60-day Madden 15 afterthoughts. We're going to go around and discuss, you know, where that franchise is right now. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the big EA financial news, which has, you know, I got more than a few tweets about how a lot of the conversations that we have been having were kind of prescient, perhaps, based upon the latest financials from EA. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, we're going to go around the horn real quick and just talk for a moment or two about what we've been playing, because that's another thing that a lot of people like to hear about. So we'll start with you, Brian Weedy. What have you been playing?
There are the you know, the staples, the Maddens, the FIFAs, the NBA 2K15, obviously. But what I've been playing mostly lately is actually on the Xbox One. It's Sunset Overdrive, and we talked about this on the Hangout. And I love this game. It's probably my favorite game of the year, and it's got some, you know, really quirky, like sarcastic humor and breaking the fourth wall stuff that I just get a kick out of. And it's, at first I thought it was just too hectic, because you have to be moving constantly to stay alive. And I've adjusted to it. Now I can actually handle all that. And I've been streaming a little bit of it now, because I think it's really... I didn't really know what to expect out of that game when I bought it. I accidentally purchased it, or I purchased it a few months ago and forgot all about it. So it got shipped to me, and then I saw the good reviews, and I've just been sticking with that lately, and I'm having a ton of fun with it. And if you want to know more about it, watch the Hangout, because we talked about it for about 15 minutes.
Cat Bailey, what you been playing?
Would you believe that I am actually sitting here as we speak playing FIFA 15? I am in the middle of my fourth season of my offline career as nice. West Ham United.
Nice.
There have been a lot of changes to the Premier League. Burnley and Cardiff City are back in the Premier League. And Arsenal is on the verge of being relegated for some reason. Sergio Aguero is on PSG. Everton's James McCarthy is on Manchester United.
Oh, and, no!
Yep, he was really homesick for Ireland, and he demanded that he be let go, and for some reason he ended up on Manchester. And Ernest Cavani became a hero for Chelsea, and they won the championship last year. But I have a really tense Champions League fixture coming up against PSG in my next game. They're up 1-0. And what I'm doing with my Premier League kind of run is that my only rule is that I can't restart after I lose a game. Like, I just have to accept the result. So it's really fueled my interest in FIFA 15 and kind of kept me going as I'm on my big quest to, like, win all of the championships. I'm doing really well right now. I'm at the top of the table and ahead of Chelsea, like, by 6 or 7 points right now. So it's looking pretty good for my chances of winning the league, if not the Champions League. And I'm up 3-0 over Newcastle right now. So that's looking good too in the FA Cup.
And I got to say, our Press Row Premier League has been a blast. Even though I am near the bottom of the table, it is just a lot of fun to play. Even though we have to force it, organize it by virtual pen and paper, just, you know, having everybody sort of play schedules and keeping track of the stuff, it's been fun. It's such a shame there's no way to do that. No way to do that in the game. Hey, Chris Sanner, what you been playing?
You know, I have been, unlike in real life, having success with the Oklahoma City Thunder in NBA 2K15. Now, that D-League team that's playing as the Thunder in real life, I mean, honestly, there was a time where I literally thought I might be called up to the Thunder because, I mean, I don't know if you guys watched it last night, but they were literally down to 6 active players at one point. So,
I actually, I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, and I watched the Nets crush whatever that team was that was wearing Oklahoma City jerseys. Yeah, that wasn't the Thunder that I know.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, it's fine. Fans around here, you know, that you stick to the plan, whatever they're saying. It's literally like a mafia surrounding that team here. You cannot speak ill of the Oklahoma City Thunder or they will come find you. But
I'm saddened here by this by this news.
The good news is that they're still better than the Timberwolves.
That's a sad fact of the matter. But other than the NBA 2K, I've actually been playing a little bit of Madden. But those two have mainly been taking my time up. I haven't gotten into FIFA yet, and I definitely haven't played live. I was literally high on fumes yesterday from the apartment below us, and Steve Noah tried to convince me to buy live, and I still couldn't do it. So there's probably not much hope for me of buying that game this year.
Oh, good. What you been playing?
I've been playing rebuild my iMac operating system and desktop.
Oh, that is underrated.
No, I mean, I actually, Brian, I've been playing some of Sunset Overdrive 2, and I had sort of the same. I'm not as far into it as you are, but I had some of the same reaction, which is, you know, it takes a while to learn what you can do in the game, how you do it, and then why you do it. But it's definitely it's certainly a unique game, and it's not something that where it's like you learn all that stuff just to play the same game that somebody else could have made. It's a very interesting and it's a very fun game. It's just I haven't gotten far into it. But after I got out of, you know, review hell with all of the stuff that we had to be, you know, doing since the since October, I had to just sit down and clean all the sludge off of my iMac, and that involved like completely reinstalling the operating system, which I complained about in my column, but there was still plenty of work to do after that. And then that also entailed buying a new router, which Mr. Lauerman advised me on, I'm happy to say that that's worked out too. So hey, it's like I have a new computer.
Nice. TJ Lauerman, what have you been playing?
Well, while not playing CTO for Owen Good, I've been going back to some MLB, though I got one hit by the computer, so that was really fun. What's it called? Dynamic difficulty is really, really hard when it's on Legend, and I can't hit, and it's really depressing. Other thing is, I've been hopping into NBA 2K15, playing some more of the crew and my career. My guy's up to an 85 overall. I don't know how he did it.
How much has that cost you, TJ?
Look, it cost me a lot of grinding, a lot of hard work,
and
$20. But now he's a beast. We run the streets of Rivet City. And I've also been playing that Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. You know, sometimes you got to take shots off the basketball court and bring them onto the war field. Is that a thing? War field? Battlefield. Yeah. Battlefield. You should name a game after that. That'd be a good title for a game.
So give us the 30-second That Sports Gamer Modern Warfare Advanced Fighter 2 or whatever the heck this one is called review.
I'm actually pleasantly surprised. I was really into Black Ops 2. Made it all the way to Prestige Master in that game. I was really turned off by Ghost last year. I saw all the videos and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to skip this like I should have done with NBA Live. But I didn't have Rich in my ear telling me to not buy Call of Duty.
You're just lying now. You can't produce the tape. You cannot produce the tape.
Rich, I always have to bring it up because now there is a bingo game for the Press Row podcast. And that's like the center square. So I have to say it. But yeah, I thought all the jumpy super jet pack stuff was going to be really annoying. But I'm actually kind of loving it. It's a new thing that they've added. It's very tough to get used to if you're not used to those jumpy kind of round games, because I'm used to playing like Black Ops 2 where they're either standing in front of me or they're a level up, not thinking this guy's either going to jump 30 feet in the air or jump down 30 feet in the air and come and kill me. So it's new. It's fun. I'm already level 28, so halfway to my first prestige.
Nice. It's our car. What you been playing? All Destiny all the time or anything else make it to your rotation?
Actually, in the middle of all the Destiny stuff, I started and finished all of Walking Dead season 2 on my 360. Painful as it was to go back to that console, that's unfortunately where I played season 1. So you know, because your save game transfers over, I was stuck there as opposed to Wolf Among Us, which I played on PC. So yeah, I played like the four out of five episodes on Sunday, and then finished up. And I think I got into some of episode 5, and then I finished it on Monday night. Season 2 has some like it hits some of the same high points, or there are, you know, a similar number of high points to season 1, but I think overall I was kind of let down. Obviously, it's certainly a really tough bar to season 1 set a really high bar for season 2 to approach. And there's certainly some really great stuff in there, but some weird missteps with the story, especially late, like in episodes 4 and 5. Although I was reading a review, and apparently they actually branch pretty wildly at the very end. So like I'm going to go back and you know, try to get a couple of the other endings and see what they're about. But yeah, aside from that, more and more Destiny, and pretty soon going to hopefully dig into my copy of Wolfenstein, because I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about that.
Yeah, Wolfenstein is one that I thought I was going to get into on a sale or something, but I just, between the length of it, which again, I to some people a long game is a good game, but also I think it's just, I've heard that it's kind of heavy, and an extended dealing with a heavy topic for an extended period of time, I think would be a little much for me, especially because I am living in sports game heaven. I mean,
well, but there's also the thing that you hate all shooters indiscriminately.
That is not true. I enjoyed Enemy Front. That was a game that came out earlier this year. I loved Spec
Ops. Wait, you like Enemy Front?
Yeah, Enemy Front was a good game. The single player game was really good. I loved Spec Ops: The Line. I mean, there were parts of it I didn't like, but I love Spec Ops: The Line. I'm not just complete anti-shooter across the board. I'm just, generally speaking, those games to me are dreadfully boring. But that's just, you know, that's me. And I know that I'm in the vast minority on that. So, but I've been living in just a sports game heaven. I mean, my goodness, I am in the FIFA Press Row Premier League, which is wonderful. And we're also starting the DSFA Cup in-season competition, which is great because we've got a few extra people joining that one. I'm obviously in the Press Row Madden League, which is great. I'm playing a lot of the Golf Club, which is spectacular. I love that game. We are in the National League Championship Series, I'm in the National League Championship Series in the Science Row MLB 14 The Show Online League. Unfortunately, I am down 2-0 because the Colorado Rockies cannot be stopped. They swept Gus Ramsey's Mets in the first round, and I had them down 5-4 in the bottom of the eighth of game 2, and they came roaring back to score 4 runs with 2 outs on 5 straight doubles. But what I'm really playing the most of these days, in the last week and a half, I have just, every moment that I can, I have been playing either NBA 2K15 or NBA Live. I love both of these games for different reasons. NBA 2K15, you know, it's funny. Last year, I was all about my player. I played 2.5 full seasons. This year in NBA 2K15, I am all in on my GM. I love my GM. I mean, obviously, the 5-on-5 basketball in NBA 2K15, for me anyway, is I mean, a work of art is obviously hyperbole, but boy, it is so good in so many ways. And then when you take that fun 5-on-5 and then you add in the layer of my GM, where you've got some interesting interactions with the owner. You're the general manager. You interact with the owner. He gives you different things that he wants you to do. And I've tweeted out to Mr. Price 33 over Good Game Bro. Him and Corey Andrus do that show, and because he's really, really, really deep into the franchise, and he's giving me some tips on how to, you know, maybe arrange my roster and accomplish some of the objectives they want you to do. I love NBA 2K15. I love my GM. It is so good. But I also really enjoy NBA Live 15. I mean, this year, NBA Live is a good game. It is not a great game. It is not as good as NBA 2K15, but it is very much pick up and play. It works well. If you know, you don't have to learn as much to be successful and to do, you know, to do dunks and pull off nice little Euro steps. It's just kind of easier to get in and play. And I'm playing. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm playing two or three games of my GM in NBA 2K15, and then I'm flipping over and playing two or three games of Dynasty in NBA Live. And it's kind of fun to compare and contrast the two. So for whatever reason, I've definitely recently gotten the basketball bug, and I'm loving NBA 2K15, and I am enjoying NBA Live 15. And it's just nice that we've at least got a couple of you got two basketball games, and unlike last year where one was not good and the other was great, now you got one that's great and one that's pretty darn good, at least in my opinion. I know it is not a wildly commonly shared opinion. I mean, if you look at Metacritic for NBA Live, it's better than it was last year, but it's not. I don't think it's as low of a game as the Metacritic, but that's all right. It's improving, and I've had more people tell me that they're pleasantly surprised with it this year than I thought, and so that's what I have been playing, and I'm going to keep on playing because it's great. All right, topic number one. A lot of people really love Madden, or at least they love to talk about Madden. They love to hear about Madden. We all on the show get very excited when Madden comes out. We talk a lot about it in the weeks leading up to it. We talk a lot about it when it first comes out, and then we just kind of move on to the next thing. I mean, that's what we do. But more than a few people have said, hey, I'm interested to hear what you guys think about Madden now, after the big patches, 60 days later. Talk about it. I mean, Madden, say what you will about it, it is one of the most important video game franchises. It is a linchpin of many people's year. And now that we've had a lot of time to soak it in and to find what we like, interested on what everybody's sort of thoughts are on it, good, bad, and ugly. And so I'll start with you, Owen. Good. 60 days later, a little more than 60 days later, where are you on not just your personal experience with Madden 15, but maybe even where is Madden as a franchise right now, directionally, for EA and for people who just love football games?
Well, I'll start this by saying, after you take a sort of longer view of this game, I think it's kind of thing, after you take a longer view of any sports video game, it's very rare that your estimation goes up. You tend to just find more things to pick apart and drag it down. That said, I don't walk back the score that I or Polygon gave to Madden at all. I still think it's one of the best sports video games of the year. There are some things that after you play it for a while, you go, this is something they really have to work on next year. In connected franchise mode, a couple of things that they've got to work on. I realize now that they actually do have more than just one drill that's available to a running back in CFM mode, which is obviously what I play in the Press Row podcast. The only thing is, if the drill isn't the speed burst drill, everything else is for increasing your confidence, which is just frankly more easily done by a background simulation. You can gain 5 confidence you can gain more than that. But the way I skew things when I'm playing as a solo player, I usually just, in preseason and in the early season, max out the confidence as much as I can. So those drills don't mean as much to me. So they need to open up some variety in how you train. And I think they need to bring back to practice games, especially, because you need that if you are trying to refine a custom playbook.
Yes, 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 yes.
I have
a thousand times yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can create the player that I have in CFM. I can create him in the main roster and use the main roster as a practice mode. But if you have an entire team, you can't. And certainly you can't do it against live competition. The league just changes too much. So that's something that they need to work on. The other thing, too, that they need to work on is they need to work on not only commentary, which, you know, everybody said that in their reviews. They need to work on keeping you engaged with your season. I'm getting sick and tired of every time we flip the week coming over and seeing alternate reality. The Texans are wearing alternate uniforms this
week. Oh, that's you're right, every week. And not only that, but these teams actually don't end up wearing them, or it's user teams. They're like, how do you know?
Yeah, and you know, and I'm tired of seeing, you know, in my player stories, it's like, you know, Mark Schlereth saying, you know, Coach Arians said that they were really getting to the edge this week and look for speed. It's like, shut up. You know, so they need to show a little more attention to that next year, because that's been one of the weaker areas. And if I find myself going, you know, I should have called that out more. But obviously, when you're reviewing this game over the course of a week, you're not playing multiple seasons.
Yep.
You know, those are sort of the atmospheric things. You know, in the game, I have yet to see like a screen pass work on third down in any situation. You know, there are some passes, there are some plays that just don't seem to work. But then, you know, then a patch rolls and you kind of like, huh, you know, wow, they really, you know, tuned for that. And I'm trying to call out a specific instance. It's not coming back to my mind. I think the trap play, and maybe this is something just because I play so much as a running back in a couple of leagues, one of them online, most of them off, the others off. The trap play is really overpowered if you hit it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you also see that a lot in multiplayer. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that just happen every year. Unfortunately, they do. And, you know, you just have to tune it. And then, you know, again, just the commentary. It just, these guys, I mean, does Phil Simms ever not complain? I mean, hell, he does it in real life, but does he ever... Does he ever not complain about receivers and, you know, how babied they are? I mean, come on. That's not really, you know, the anecdotes that they serve up are the same old thing. And it's got me wondering if they're not just going to push reset on that team again and give us a new booth team, which will be nice for a change next year, but they will still have to start all over. And I want to see this franchise start properly serving the folks it has in place, because when it had Collinsworth and Gus Johnson, even though they didn't record their lines together, I mean, they were good for that first season. And I've always thought highly of Collinsworth, but then they didn't have a commentary engine that could serve either of them. So, you know, those are the things that I know that it's not as in the nitty gritty on game plan. I know there's probably a bunch of people screaming at the podcast right now with their pet peeve. And you know, there are many. It's not to say that others aren't legitimate, but those are the ones that I notice the most, just mostly because I'm spending a lot of time in menus trying to exploit something.
Chris Sanner, you are obviously the executive editor of Operation Sports. Madden, I would imagine, is one of the most popular topics, you know, one of the more talked about games. Where are you with Madden 15, 60 days later, and where do you think the OS community is as well?
Madden has actually held up its numbers quite well this year compared to previous years. You know, one of the things I have to do on a day-to-day basis is check analytics and just see where our users are, because that's going to determine where our content goes. And, you know, Madden has, for the first time in since 2010, 2011, it's really held its own against all these other games. It's really held its longevity. There's a lot of interest still. So I think that in of itself really speaks highly to the quality of the game this year. People are finding legit enjoyment out of this game. The amount of hate around the community is a lot less. Personally, I feel like, and this is, we're a little too early to start speculating on this, I guess, but when we hand out our Sports Game of the Year awards, I mean, I'm not going to lie, Madden is going to be in that discussion this year, and that's something that, you know, 2-3 years ago would have been considered blasphemous. But I think this year, you know, I think we are I think the game has arrived at a level that is really, I don't want to say, like, it's hard to say it's as good as NBA 2K or FIFA, but I really feel like that if you really give it its fair shot, yeah, those other two games have the same amount of annoying little quirks, but people just break down Madden on a level that I think is sometimes a little unfair to it. And on the other hand, I feel like that if Madden had the presentation side of things down, I think a lot of the gameplay elements would be a whole lot more forgivable. So I think it's very close to being the best game in our genre right now, and I'm finding a lot of enjoyment out of it. I mean, my goodness, playing as the Chiefs, just going week to week. I mean, I'll echo Owen's sentiments on just the annoyances of the week to week grind and seeing some of the news stories, some of the social media posts that are just ridiculous. But they got to work on that stuff. But if they can get that down, continue to improve the gameplay. I mean, next year apparently defensive back wide receiver interactions are going to be a key. If they, I mean, this franchise is on the up and up. It's moving in the right direction. And judging by, I know we're going to talk about this later, but judging by the sales of Madden and that sort of thing we've heard this year, I mean, people are enjoying this year's game like they haven't in a long time. And I think that's just because the game is actually better than it has been in a long time.
Real quick, before we move to Cat next, I'm just going to quickly poll everybody. Game prep, right? Where are you with game prep? I simulate game prep every single time. I can't stand it.
Every time. Same.
Chris Sander, yeah. Brian Weedar, what do you do with game prep?
It's awful. I go and get XP for one or two of my young players that I'm trying to build up, and then I just ignore the rest.
Cat Bailey?
Progression is so messed up in this series. It's not even... They've tried to address fan complaints over the years with like various XP progression systems, and it just hasn't worked. And I almost wish that the players would kind of auto progress throughout the season without me having to worry about it, say like in FIFA, because every system they come up with, it's just either overly complicated or too powerful or not powerful enough. And game prep is no exception.
TJ, do you do game prep or do you delegate it?
Like Brian, I'll usually do maybe one. Maybe I'll click around and auto do one for it, but usually I'll just delegate it.
I did game prep for 1 or 2 weeks of the very first season and then quickly just said forget about it. Oh, good. Do you do – well, you're a single player, so you that's a different sort of situation for you then, isn't it?
I haven't been in my team league in a while. When I do team, the best game prep is to win because that keeps you from having to spend game prep on confidence, which, as I've seen in my single-player participation in the Press Row Podcast League, when the rest of your team gets to do a downward spiral, and Kat, you noted this in your review. I mean, so this is not something that is just now known. This was spotted early. When you get into a downward spiral, it's awful. Carson Palmer... You know, we were on a winning streak, and he had a confidence of 4, which, you know, just shows you how deep in a funk everyone can get and how pronounced their behavior, how poor their gameplay is at lower levels of confidence. They can't dig out of it. They just continue to play more poorly. That obviously affects the team's performance, especially if it's a quarterback. And, you know, just you can't climb out of it. So they do need to figure out something that's a little more equitable than this. I mean, I kind of see what they were trying to do, especially as, you know, when you are just focusing on a single player, you sort of understand what they were doing. The problem is it's all optimized toward that. You have a pronounced week to week boost to your stats with confidence than you can gain with XP. You know, the way that they're handled, you know, obviously they're asking you to choose. You're going to raise your player's confidence. You're going to boost his XP. Obviously one is in a long-term game. The other is more of a short-term gain. What I have found is if you just focus on confidence immediately, then you're going to have a nearly unbreakable week to week boost. I mean, I don't think I've been below 95 confidence since, you know, like week 3 or something. And it delivers, you know, a substantial boost to your core attributes. So that's a little bit of a game breaker there. And I think, you know, as I've been, you know, pounding my chest about with you guys, you know, you guys will really see it next season because, you know, I'm going to have a huge bank of XP that I didn't need this year because my confidence was so high. And I don't know what that's going to mean for next year, but, you know, it is a little bit broken in that regard.
All right. So another quick lightning round real quick. Brian Weedeye, do you do confidence or just XP? Do you do the drills? What do you do, you know, sort of week to week? How do you handle that?
Yeah, that was a curiosity to me with Owen talking about his confidence. Confidence to me is if I can spend those hours and gain 4 confidence or something, that doesn't do anything for me. If my guy's already low, gaining 4 or 5 confidence, whatever it might be, I don't care at that point. It's not going to help me. It's not going to – that my defensive back isn't going to catch an interception instead of drop it because I just gained him 4 confidence. So all of it goes to XP to the few young guys I'm trying to build up.
Chris Sander, how do you attack that?
I have been focusing mainly on confidence, but I mean, I don't know. It's a gamey thing, and it's something that does add a little bit of strategy, but it really, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't really noticed a huge difference on the field either way. Well, I mean, no matter which I choose or anything like that. So it just seems like I don't feel like there's much of a, I know this is the lightning round, but it doesn't feel like there's much of a difference for me either way. And that's probably my main gripe with the system.
TJ, which direction do you go?
Mainly XP, just because all my guys are so young that seems to be the way to go, planning for the future. And they get the confidence from wins. And I think I won 11 or 12 games this year, so they've been happy enough.
Cat Bailey, which way do you go?
I never build up confidence because winning cures all ills, and I win most of my games, so I'd rather just focus on player progression.
So let's keep going with you, Cat Bailey. Where are you? You know, you did the review for US Gamer. Where are you 60 days later with Madden overall? Do you feel it's in a good place? Are you personally enjoying it? You know, just, you know, what is your take on where Madden 15 is 60 days after its release?
I'm about where I was when I did my review, and as most people may remember, I was quite a bit lower than a lot of people on the actual game. And looking back, the gameplay improvements were pretty substantial, but I'm primarily a career mode player, and the career mode improvements were non-existent, and I feel like career mode has fallen behind quite a bit, especially when you compare it to, say, NBA 2K. And one of my problems with Madden is just, it's so freaking stale, or not stale, but what's the word, like sterile, that's the word I was using. It's really sterile. It tries to have kind of this character with the tweets and everything, and they were fun in Madden 13 and everything, but by and large, like, I totally ignore all of that stuff now, and so I'm just playing the games, and I'm kind of developing my own storylines in my head. Whereas when, God, I hate comparing everything to FIFA all the time, but I'm playing by myself on FIFA Offline. Like, storylines just pop up organically. Like, I had this whole saga going on with my, like, star fullback who was going to leave, and then he wasn't going to leave, and then he was going to leave. And finally, I got him to sign my contract, and I had people coming after me to try and buy him, and it was a great source of stress. You never, ever see anything like that in Madden. So that kind of annoys me. And then owner mode is just, I'm in 2 leagues. I'm in the Press Row League, and I'm also in Pete Dodd's league.
Yep.
And I'm playing as an owner, I think in both, because I wanted to relocate. I wanted to put the Vikings in a new stadium, and I wanted to put the Bills in Toronto. Hmm. And God, playing as an owner is just a mistake, because especially if you play as a lower team, which I always play as lower teams, you're not going to make enough money, and there's a good chance that you'll be in the negatives. And if you're in the negatives, you can't sign free agents. And this just has no bearing on reality. NFL teams get money from TV deals. They're not going to be in the negative. They're not going to not be able to sign a free agent. It's ridiculous, and I don't like it. It's a poorly thought out system. And I don't necessarily want them to take it out, because I do like being able to relocate my team. I do like being able to come up with totally insane new teams, like the New Mexico Diablos. In the 4-string Madden League last year, we had a bunch of teams that ended up moving. And the character that they brought, we had the River Hogs and the Diablos and the Chicago Cougars. And those were memorable teams, and it was fun. It was silly. It was perfect for an online league. So I don't want to sacrifice that stuff, but but owner mode as it is currently constructed is terrible.
I feel like you should have charged more for hot dogs and maybe you'd have made more money.
I actually spent a lot of time thinking about how I would approach owner mode. And all I can think is that you would probably get like a pool of money every season, and then you would be able to put it in different buckets. So be able to buy upgrades for your stadiums, be able to spend it on your free agents, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have to think a lot more about that kind of strategy rather than focusing on silly minutiae like, how much does the hot dogs cost? I don't know. So that's like kind of my primary bugbear about Madden right now. In general, I'm kind of checked out on the game. I don't play online because the online community is terrible and I hate it. I'm enjoying the leagues, but I will probably be having to back out after season one is finished. And I don't know. It feels like one of those. I think it's on the right track. I agree. But at the same time, it's also one of those. Yeah, we're waiting until next year. And then it'll be really, really good. So that's where I'm kind of at with Madden 15.
Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre. Obviously, you are you have an incredibly active community of people as well, commenters, and you know what people want to read about. You know what people want to talk about. Where is Madden for you personally, 15 right now, 60 days later? And also, where is it as far as, you know, driving conversations on Pasta Padre?
Yeah, before I get into that, I want to say what Kat was just talking about there with the owners. I avoided being an owner. I wanted to be an owner. I wanted to move the Jaguars, but I avoided it because I knew they messed up the owner funds this year. So that was disappointing. But yeah, getting into the game now, you know, like Madden 25, to me, it's an enjoyable game, but I still have a number of gripes and things that really bug me from time to time, but I can overlook them because of how much fun we have in our franchise. I still love the camera angles, the community play calls, and that connected franchise experience. But like Owen was talking about earlier too, with the presentation, I'm less concerned with the in menu presentation than I am the in game, and that's where it loses me so much, is that you don't really have that connection to what's going on in your franchise while you're playing the actual games. I mean, they do flash up like for about 1.5 seconds.
Exactly.
And just, I'm not like, wait, exaggerating.
What? Wait, oh,
I'm not exaggerating. There was like a playoff race thing that came up at the start of one of my games. I quit out and started the game up again so I could see it, because it just flashed and it was gone. I wanted to see what it actually said and take a screenshot. So things like that, like playoff standings and the division records or whatever, they don't do enough of that in the commentary. Certainly that's, you know, way insufficient. They don't talk about anything that's going on in your franchise. So, you know, that's the most disappointing part of it to me. And because for 3 years, I've been calling for them to do more with that, and they really haven't done, anything with it. And then, you know, the gameplay issues with, you can't really push the ball downfield. Everybody's very conservative, or else they're going to throw a ton of interceptions. For me, that's, you know, I have the Buccaneers in Pete Dodd's league, and once I started up with them, I realized I made a big mistake, because they have Vincent Jackson on one side, Mike Evans on the other. They're big receivers who are pretty much worthless in Madden this year. Big receivers are, so I'm going to cut Vincent Jackson. But you know, and then we get into the things like dropped interceptions and stuff like that. You know, it just gets irritating at times, but then we have so much fun with it still. And as far as, you know, the general reception Madden's gotten, I think it's, you know, cautiously positive. Nobody wants to speak out and say they love Madden. But you know, there's been less, as far as major issues, there haven't been many of those. It's just people who are disappointed in certain aspects, or think it should be better by now in certain areas, rather than server issues or game breaking bugs. You know, you don't have those anymore. So now we're just at a point where we expect Madden to get better, maybe faster than it has been.
TJ Lowerman, you are in our Press Row CFM, but you are also big into the Madden Ultimate Team. So I'm curious from your perspective, you know, Ultimate Team is a very different animal. It's the kind of experience that doesn't really tie itself to the NFL season proper. We're going to get into that a little later as well. So let's take the CFM stuff out for a minute. Where are you now, 60 days later, with Madden Ultimate Team? Is it delivering? Does it keep you coming back? What is the Ultimate Team community like, and how is that set up for either success or not, 60 days out of release?
I'm personally very tired. I've already played 240 solos in Madden of the 440 that have been out. And we're recording this on Wednesday. Tomorrow they're going to drop their big Road to the Playoffs new stuff. I think it's like 700 new cards, another 300 and something new solos, a new... I forget what it's called. I think it's like Super Mutt Master or something like that. It's just, there's been a lot of content, and it's funny because FIFA doesn't have that much in Ultimate Team, and Madden has just so much that it's a little overwhelming. I was trying to do this Mutt Master thing, and now I think that's going to be a complete waste. I feel like I've wasted my time trying to do this because I've only done 200 of the 400 solos, and I still need to do 3/4 of the team's collections. Just a lot of stuff to do in this. And in 60 days, I've played almost 300 games of Madden throughout all the modes. And now with NBA 2K15 and Call of Duty and me getting back into MLB, Madden is quickly getting on that train of that's going to be the game I pop in, play my CFM game, and then turn it off for 4 days. So I'm kind of worried about that. Seems like the community is very... weary of what's going to happen with this Road to the Playoffs expansion. A lot of people are excited for it. A lot of people have kind of already given up on Madden, so they're hoping that this is what brings them back into it this year. It's going to be real interesting. Everybody just got a free 88, some dude from the Bears card. So I think that's telling, because I think that's probably the highest rated overall card they've ever given away just for logging on that day. So while they're making... zillions and zillions of dollars. I feel like it's more the super whales are just spending more and more money, but I think the low end people are starting to spend less, because the main thing that's turned me off from spending money this year is I'm always interested in the bundles. And in the past, bundles were usually like 3 packs of cards plus a topper for $20. Now it feels like every bundle is $60 to $80. And it's really, really pushing me out of wanting to spend money in the game when I know that's happening.
I don't know half the words you just said, but when I hear $60 to $80 for anything, that is... I had no idea that you could, in one fell swoop, spend $60 or $80 for a pack of cards or a bundle of cards. That seems crazy.
Yeah, and they're running new promotions every few days, if not weekly.
If I might interject, I think that... you say, man, there's so much new content with Madden Ultimate Team that it's just completely overwhelming. Man, I would kill for new content in career mode. It just frustrates the heck out of me that they push so much into Ultimate Team these days and absolutely nothing into anything else. I mean, it makes me think of when they do the draft and they will release a pack of rookie cards for Ultimate Team, but they won't put them into career mode, which I kind of understand that they're trying to save some of the newness for the new game and everything. But if they wanted to revitalize their game in like May and get people to pop their game in just to try out their new rookies, I mean, that's the way to do it. So it speaks to a broader problem that I'm having with sports games these days.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we go to that, I want to go around the table quickly with one final comment or one final question about Madden NFL 15, which is, do you think it is in a better place today than it was a year ago? Is it moving in the right direction? Owen Good.
I think it is. You know, the problems that we've pointed out notwithstanding, you know, I think it's on – a more stable footing to address some of those things than maybe it was in the past. But it is the kind of thing where, you know, you can see if they don't do anything about it next year, then they're really going to be back where they started from. And I share Kat's dismay at the I mean, it's a perceived, but it's actually, you know, true imbalance in them showing so much attention to Ultimate Team, you know, to the exclusion of something like franchise. And I think it's a fair criticism to say that they do that, because franchise is something that you pay $60 for, and Ultimate Team is something that you pay potentially infinite dollars for. And, you know, that's dispiriting. But the foundation is there. The gameplay is there. I mean, you know, part of what I complained about with NBA 2K was, you know, they have this robust experience and then they do all this stuff at the edges of the design to just turn you off. And it was a very rough launch for them. You know, everything from, you know, not only the notorious online problems, but also just that grating main menu with 2K TV or whatever the hell it's called.
Hey guys.
You know, Madden doesn't do anything like that, but at the same time, Madden didn't try to do anything like that.
What's up, guys?
To succeed, you know, they as again, Kat pointed out, it is a sterile game in the UI. And I haven't checked, you know, that Twitter feed in a very long time, and that was something that, you know, was entertaining, and I thought it had potential for trying to keep you engaged with the story of your season. But the thing that I'm facing more emergent narratives when I am playing other users, such as in our Press Row Podcast League, where, you know, that thing that came down to, you know, the last day of the season between me and Corey in the NFC West. Now I had a long shot. It would have taken some help. I needed the Rams to lose, and they were playing CPU, and I don't know that would have happened. But still, you know, that's when this thing is like really fun. Like, I could not wait to play that game. But, you know, that's also, that's a situation that Madden did create, but it kind of also didn't create. That's something that just sort of happened. So they need to do a lot more. They need to look to their comrades at 2K Sports for how you present a season, and especially how, you know, especially making Sims and Nance, you know, look like they're watching not only the game that they're watching, but participating in the season that you're playing. Because, you know, I've got a rookie running back who nearly got 1,600 yards, and they didn't say anything about that. Now, I understand that he's got a funky last name, and I don't expect them to say that, but I do expect them to say, you know, this guy's taken the league by storm. Look at him. He's, you know, got a lot of rushing yards, but he has a low per carry average or something like that. Anything. You just get nothing. It's just the same stuff every day.
Can I just add that when it comes to Madden, like, if you look at NBA 2K, it's so NBA. It feels NBA, right? Like, everything about the presentation reminds you of, like, an NBA telecast, the culture of the league, everything. But you do not get any of that with Madden. And I keep thinking, why don't they leverage their connection to NFL films more? Why can't they make it feel almost like I'm watching something from NFL films? Make it feel kind of that epic feel that you get when you're watching a highlight reel or something. I mean, it was NFL films that popularized the league in the first place. It feels like a real wasted opportunity to me.
With all the troubles the NFL has, though, that may actually be a decision they look back with and are happy about. I will say this. I love Madden 15, but I love it because of our Press Row Podcast League. Period. End of story. It's hard to put my finger on it exactly, but I have more fun playing Madden right now than I ever have before. Yes, the game is good. You know, the gameplay on the field is good. I don't love the fact that I throw a lot of interceptions. I don't love a lot of the ways that I'm like, okay, well, I basically have 10 to 12 plays that I'm comfortable running that I feel like I know what's actually going to happen. But, like, you know, we've touched on it, Brian and Owen and Kat and TJ, because, of course, Christiana refuses to participate. But when you are playing Madden in a community, in the CFM, on online CFM community, it is spectacular. I mean, at one point, I don't know, probably about 7 or 8 virtual weeks ago, Owen Goode was basically doing a running commentary. He was like the red zone guy. He's watching 3 or 4 games live on Twitch, and he's talking about what's going on. It was just unbelievable. When and that's what, for me, makes Madden great. Like, if this were 5 years ago and I wasn't in a vibrant online league community, I would probably not even be playing Madden very much. And it's not a knock on anything. I mean, it just feels to me that like so many other things, if you are part of a good community, a decent to good game takes on a completely new level of fun. And to me, Madden, they've made significant improvements to how it plays. And then you toss that on into the mix of being in a good CFM, you know, where you advance every 3 or 4 days and, you know, everybody communicates and everybody plays their games. And if they're not, that's okay. They say, I'm not going to be there, put it in an auto. Like, if you have that buy-in for the community, it can just be so much fun. We're going to play 3 or 4 or 5 years. And, I mean, Perseus Oxendine is going to have a 4 or 5 year career. And Brian Weedye is going to turn around the Jacksonville Jaguars. And TJ Larriman is going to lose in the first round of the playoffs every year. And, you know,
that's how I do.
And I am going to lose in the first round of the playoffs every year because that's what the Eagles do. And it's going to be amazing. And we are going to remember stuff. I mean, I remember things that happened in four string lead games 3 or 4 years ago. We're going to remember this because of not Madden 15, but because of the league. And that's why I wish more people could get the enjoyment of being in a league, because I have so many people that say, man, you guys have so much fun talking about your leagues. I wish I could experience that.
You know what it is, Rich, now? It's this is what EA wants, of course. It's check out who I've got on my ultimate team. That's the story they're creating now.
Well, before we head into the second half of the show, I want to take a second and talk about MaddenTips.com. Our good friends Zach Farley and Steve Gibbons over at Madden Tips. They do a This Week in Madden every Wednesday night on Twitch.tv/MaddenTips. It's the kind of show where, again, if you're like me and you're like a lot of the folks that are part of the Press Row community, we play a lot of Madden. And they're good at helping you figure out ways to get better at the game. It's not about money plays. It's not about cheating. It's just about how to understand what you're doing, what the right strategies are, what the right tactics are. And they do a great job over there. Again, it's called This Week in Madden. It's on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on Twitch.tv/MaddenTips. Want to take a second, as always, they give us the Madden Tip of the Week, and they got a good one this week. This time it's about looking for a consistent short yardage run. So if that's what you're trying to do, consistently get a short yardage run in Madden 15, there's no better run than the single back ace 0-1 trap. This play is found in many team playbooks. It utilizes a pulling guard to take out your opponent's defensive tackle. At first, the defensive tackle will scream into the backfield unblocked. However, he will then be trapped back there as your runner runs right past him and the guard gets a seal. The 49ers use this scheme and have shut down great players like Ndamukong Suh from the 49ers. If you're having trouble slowing this run down, make sure to check out MaddenTips.com for a free video on slowing down up the middle runs in Madden 15. So well done, guys. So that is our Madden Tips Madden Tip of the Week. Again, make sure you check out Zach and Steve over at MaddenTips.com every Wednesday at 8 p.m. this week in Madden on Twitch.tv/MaddenTips. Well, that's a perfect segue. So let's head into that. So we don't talk a lot about, business on the show because, you know, a lot of people like to hear about it, a lot of people don't. But here's the deal. EA recently had its quarter review, and they had a wildly successful, quarter. They made a lot of money. They made more money than they thought they were going to make. It wasn't that long ago that EA was losing a lot of money, and they actually had a pretty tidy profit, 17% higher in revenue than the years before, and they were, at a full profit. And I actually read through the call, the conference call they had with the investors, and there's some really interesting stuff in there. I'm not going to read all of it. I want to read a few of these things because it's really pertinent to what we're talking about. And like I said, more than a few listeners pointed me to the call and said, "Wow, you guys are really predicting the future a few months ago." So I'm going to read a couple things here. First off, this is Andrew Wilson being quoted, and I pulled this from Seeking Alpha, by the way. He said, "Madden NFL 15 kicked off in August, quickly registered one of the most successful Madden titles in recent years among players and critics to date. Players have logged more than 89 million games of Madden, up 48% year over year. With Sims 4 and NHL 15 launched in September, we've already delivered major content updates to players in both of these games. And FIFA 15 only had 1 week in our Q2, but within that week, it surpassed 3.4 million unique users in 1 day. But here's where I think one of the interesting things. The Ultimate Team modes for Madden NFL 15, NFL 15, and FIFA 15 continue to see explosive growth. Our aggregate Ultimate Team player base has already increased by more than 40% over fiscal year 14. NFL Madden Mobile, FIFA 15 Ultimate Team launched for iOS. Along with King of the Course new experiences, our EA Sports mobile games averaged over 40 million active users, up 250%. But here's the biggest thing. Breaking down our digital revenue into key components highlights the performances of each of these businesses this quarter. Extra content and free-to-play contributed $153 million, led by sustained momentum in our FIFA, Madden, and even Hockey Ultimate Team services, which were up 96% year-on-year. Over that same period, we have grown FIFA Ultimate Team 61%, Madden Ultimate Team 277%, and Hockey Ultimate Team 113%. I mean, those are, I don't care whether you like numbers or not, those are massive numbers. Massive numbers. And Andrew Wilson basically said, you know what? We're changing the shape and skill set of our workforce. We're combining the art of game making with the science of managing dynamic live services. We're changing the way that we do business. This has a lot of implications. And you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it the positive way, which is that, well, excuse me, they're profitable again, and that means they're going to invest more in these games, and they're going to give a wider variety of players a wider variety of ways to play the game. Or you could look at it cynically, which is, well, that's the end of everything except for Ultimate Team. It's now going to be Ultimate Team all the time. Sumit Sarkar, which way do you look at this? The positive, hopeful side or the cynical side with all of this information?
I think it's a little both. Obviously, all of this means that EA would be stupid not to continue investing in Ultimate Team, in their mobile stuff, the free-to-play space, because it's performing so well for them. It's been tremendously lucrative. And so obviously, I don't know that that's like their bread and butter now, but it's a massive part of their business, not just for sports, but, you know, as you said, overall for their entire company's digital revenue across the board. But at the same time, you know, I would think that, you know, Ultimate Team is not necessarily a driver of sales of the game in terms of, like, you know, I don't know how many people there are out there who would say, I'm going to spend $60 on Madden just to play Ultimate Team, meaning I'm going to spend $60 on Madden just so I can spend more money in Ultimate Team. You know, certainly the people who are buying these games, I would still think overwhelmingly are buying them for, you know, certainly Ultimate Team, sure, but the entire breadth of the Madden offering. And so when you look at this number, which is that they've logged more than 89 million games of Madden NFL 15, which that's up 48% year over year. That speaks to obviously, the quality leap in 15 as compared to 25. And so, you know, I think that, you know, they haven't really said anything about sales, you know, how well it's been doing sales wise over last year or, you know, in general. But, you know, I would think that for the number of games played to be up, you know, almost 50%, that they've, I would assume they had sold more copies than they did last year. But of course there's going to be some, it's hard to compare because you had the second launch on the new consoles. So that signifies to me that, you know, it's really important for them to concentrate on both Ultimate Team and the free-to-play stuff, the mobile stuff, as well as the core experiences that are available in those games. So I'll finish with this sort of analogy. You know, the way that hardcore gamers always say, "Oh, sports games are garbage and whatnot," and, you know, we who love them say, "Well, hey, you know, the reason that EA can take risks on new IP like Titanfall is because they have the, you know, solid, reliable sports business underpinning the company and you know, really sort of subsidizing the non-sports games." You know, the way that you have that, I would almost say, well, hey, maybe, you know, their ultimate team revenue is, in a sense, subsidizing the rest of their sports development. You know, the ultimate team has become so successful that, you know, they can use that money and put it back into not just Ultimate Team, but also the other parts of the respective sports games.
So, Brian Weed, when I first started looking at the numbers, I was like, wow, this is great. You know, the Andrew Wilson has been the CEO for a year. The company is now profitable. I mean, whether you like EA or hate EA, the fact is they make a lot of the games that we play. It's better for them to be profitable as opposed to not. Is there, you know, based upon this, do you take this as a positive thing overall, a negative thing, cynical or hopeful? You know, how do you read all of this and sort of, you know, digest it and analyze this?
I don't necessarily go one particular direction with it. I mean, if you want to talk about the digital revenue, would we have the sports games we do now without Ultimate Team? I don't think so. Without the Ultimate Team type models driving revenue, NBA Live would not exist if they didn't think they could make money through Ultimate Team to help with because it's not going to be able to draw in the sales, at least initially. So it's interesting because I look at something that was just updated called FIFA World, which is a free to play PC game. And that has the Ultimate Team model, just like their mobile games now, FIFA and Madden, are just Ultimate Team games. And they're free. They're free to get in. And I think within the next 2 years, you might see free-to-play Ultimate Team games on the consoles. What that means is they have to try and innovate, which is fine. I think it's a good thing if it means they have to innovate some new way to make money out of the other games, out of the standard games. That doesn't mean monetizing franchise mode. It means how about you come up with a new digital revenue mode because everybody copied your Ultimate Team mode. You can come up with something new. So I'd like to see something innovative come out of this too. It's, EA stock is up double what it was this point last year. So they're doing well, even as the games aren't selling quite as much, which is interesting because they'll continue to go down, but they continue to make more money from Ultimate Team. I don't know if that's a healthy direction to be going and why I think it might be a positive to actually break them off and do something new with the standard games.
Chris Sanner, there's something that you wanted to mention related to some of the things I don't necessarily might not be buried in there, but certainly, you know, mixed in that is some of the mobile. Brian Weed, I talked a little bit about the mobile and the free-to-play games. I know you've got some thoughts on some of the numbers related to mobile as well in in the latest EA financial reports.
Yeah, Rich, you know, honestly, the most surprising or eye-opening number to me was actually just how many people are playing the EA mobile sports games. That number is 40 million active players, which is just, we don't have exact numbers on how many copies Madden and FIFA, et cetera, are selling, but I'm almost certain that all of those together do not add up to 40 million, which is just, and that's up to over 250% over the last year, which is just intriguing to me and interesting because, I mean, the mobile platform for sports gaming is something we haven't really seen mature to a point where it was actually playable. But as these devices, I know I've said this before, but as these devices continue to get better, you know, the iPad experience with a controller would be absolutely not so bad to actually take with you on the go and such, or even just play on your lap in the living room for that matter. So, you know, 40 million active users, this is a trend in our genre and in our industry that I think, you know, sometimes we don't give enough credit to. I mean, there's a lot of people playing video games that do not play the big box $60 console games. I don't know what this spells for our actual AAA games, but it definitely is a trend that is worth noting. And it's a trend that, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where it goes, because obviously EA is making money off of these mobile games. And I'm just interested to see what company comes along and creates an experience that is just truly remarkable on these mobile devices. EA's obviously got a winner in terms of people playing their games. But even though, I mean, I don't know if you guys have played either of the Madden or the FIFA game on the iPhone, the Ultimate Team, but those experiences aren't the greatest. FIFA's a lot better than Madden. Madden, by the way, if you are playing the Madden Ultimate Team, engage 8 every time on defense. It works every time. Literally every time. So it's not good. But I mean, when a company comes along, I mean, think about what EA could do if their games on these mobile devices actually were worth something or worth a darn. Mm. So, I mean, I mean, seriously, imagine what those games would be like, or what those audiences could be like. So it's going to be interesting to see if EA takes these games seriously and comes up with a solution that's going to make gamers happy on those platforms that are, you know, from Operation Sports or something, because I honestly think they've got a heck of a chance to do something amazing on mobile that we're really not even giving enough credit to right now.
On that conference call, Tim O'Shea from Jefferies asked this question. He said, any color on that big jump in engagement for Madden, the 89 million games to date, up 48% year over year. How big of a role does Ultimate Team play in terms of driving that engagement? It sounds like Ultimate Team is really working for you guys. Andrew Wilson says, yeah, there are really two vectors created that jump in engagement. This year, the team embarked on a journey to create a better onboarding flow for the game in general. Obviously, I believe he's talking about the gauntlet and just, you know, the training, and get more people into the game and enjoying it than we have done before them. And then from that point of enjoyment, provide Ultimate Team as a way to engage and socially connect with their friends around the sport that they love. Brian, like you just said a few minutes ago. And the combination of better onboarding and heightened social interaction are probably the two greatest drivers of increased engagement in Madden this year. And Blake Jorgensen followed up and said, we saw this year for the first time that Madden, which normally stops gameplay after the Super Bowl — we rarely sell a lot of Madden after the Super Bowl, and we can see on the servers that people aren't playing much — this year we saw Madden play primarily due to Ultimate Team all the way up until we shipped the new Madden. We saw big spikes around the draft in May. We continued to see gameplay throughout the summer as people were engaging with the beauty of Ultimate Team concept and the ability to engage with their friends as a way of continuing to stretch out that engagement. Cat Bailey, does this feed into your concern about sports games in the future? These comments that come directly from the top of the EA executive team.
I mean, it just goes to show that, yeah, Ultimate Team has actually been a boon for sports games because it has made them a worthwhile endeavor. And in that, I'm grateful. I mean, you could almost equate it to college football, where it's almost sort of a necessary evil that funds all of the other athletic programs in college sports. But, you know, at the same time, like, it reminds me of that old GIF from back in the days of the Wii in, like, 2007, where Iwata would be and Miyamoto would be going, "It prints money!" You know, Ultimate Team, like, EA is just so thrilled by how much money this thing is printing. Like, they've got all dollar signs in their eyes right now. And that just kind of tells me all you need to know about where their priorities are going to be in the future. And yes, player engagement is definitely up. That is certainly a benefit, and people seem to really like Ultimate Team. I think probably because there's a certain kind of fantasy football aspect to it. But for people who aren't necessarily into Ultimate Team or don't really understand the appeal, well, I think that this is just an indication that going forward, you can expect a heck of a lot of Ultimate Team. You can expect Ultimate Team to kind of get thrown in your face.
Another thing that I found fascinating in reading the questions and the answers was about EA Access. And in fact, James Hardiman from Longbow Research, he said, hey, maybe give us a little more details on EA Access. Do you think that's having a positive impact on your annual sports titles? Are there any people that may have bought a title but didn't after the demo period? Any chance that gets picked up by Sony platforms? Are those negotiations ongoing? Peter Moore, our good friend Peter Moore, says that's exactly what is happening. We're seeing both empirical and anecdotal data that people now who are members of Access and, of course, have access to games like FIFA and Madden, who said that ordinarily they wouldn't have gone out and bought them, are now experiencing them and enjoying them. And our belief is that the next time around when games are launched, they will actually buy them. It's turning into an incredible sampling program for us, if you will, and obviously the value for the money is there. As regards to the Sony question, nothing to talk about that right now, but I will say EA Access is surpassing all of our internal expectations with regard to subscriber numbers, and it's delivering exactly what we thought, which would be a great way for the game, for gamers to get great value and experience more games. Smitsar Carr, does the success of EA Access that it surprised EA, does it surprise you?
That's an interesting question. I think that if you look at the value proposition of EA Access, it seems like a pretty good deal. I saw someone comment the other day that on a post where they talked about Dragon Age Inquisition, which you standard thing, you can get 5 days early, and you're limited to a 6-hour trial, but your progress will carry over. And he was like, "Oh well, if I can buy the game for 10% off, if I get it digitally from the Xbox Game Store, like I'll just sign up for 1 month." Pay $5 because it's $5 a month or $30 a year, get the game for, 10% off, and then maybe keep it for a second month or whatever and try out the other games. And I'm not saying you should try to like beat the system or whatever like that. But there's, I think, a good value there if you are an Xbox One owner who's into sports games, and even not necessarily sports games, because the main point of EA Access is to get the games in the EA Vault, which they're constantly adding to, or well, not constantly, but on a semi-regular basis, I guess, adding to. And they've said that they're not going to remove games from the Vault, so that's just going to grow over time. I think that the one thing about it that might be surprising is, or that's surprising about the success, is that it's exclusive to Xbox One. And we know that Sony is has been handily beating Microsoft in terms of Xbox One sales. But I also think, and I think I've said this on the show before, that Microsoft's got, I think, a notably stronger holiday offering, especially with the price drop, the temporary price drop that brings it to $350 for just the console, and then you've got various bundles. I think the Madden bundle is $350 if you can still find that in stores or whatever. So if it's doing well for them right now, if it's already surpassing their expectations, I think that's only going to grow over time, and hopefully then it would also end up on the PS4.
Brian Weedow, you are an EA Access subscriber.
No, I'm not. Not anymore.
Oh, you're not? Really? What happened?
Well, we've gone through all the sports games. I have no use for it otherwise.
I was going to say,
you don't want to play Dragon Age?
No. No, that's really that's outside what I get into. But I was subscribed on a monthly basis. And then I figured once NBA Live was done, I don't need it anymore. The stuff in the vault or the other games coming out in the near future did not do anything for me.
Are you surprised at the success of EA Access, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, I can still talk about this, Rich. I would argue success is a real relative term. This is not some huge explosive thing EA has going for them. If they expected a few thousand subscribers and got double that, yeah, it's exceeding their expectations. It doesn't mean it's raking them in millions of bucks or exposing a whole lot of people to the new games. I mean, they mentioned, Madden and FIFA. Well, how about the sales they lost with NHL? So it can go both ways. Once people discovered what NHL was missing, a ton of people dropped out of buying it after that. Those who weren't even subscribed and who got the information. So, but I do think as far as it goes, it can be a positive for EA. I would just take, I just argue that maybe it's not as rosy as they make it seem. But you know, if they, for the sports games, again, like it was said, it's not necessarily only just about this year. It's about getting people into it in the coming years too. And like we've talked about with SharePlay, that's another way to do that. So I would think that that's something EA is going to stick with. I mean, they had the season ticket, which they never advertised, and it didn't do anything for them because nobody knew about it. Nobody paid into it. Now they have EA Access, which at least a decent amount of people knew about. And there's people on the PS4 who want it. So I think that's a good thing. It's a start of a good thing, but it's certainly not widely adapted yet.
You know, Brian, Dragon Age is basically Madden with dragons.
I did not know that.
There you go.
I know that. I have no. I you know that's just. I have no. I really don't even know what that game is about. So,
but you know,
I told you Madden with dragons.
It was an investor call, so they're going to do their best to make sure that you know the people who have invested their money in EA are excited about it. So yeah, you take certain comments with a grain of salt, but on the other hand, the numbers are the numbers, and you know, there's no denying the numbers, and the numbers are impressive. All right, before we call it a night, got a few listener questions that I want to get to, some good stuff. Up first, we have Larry Very. He says, upcoming MLB 15, the show, wish lists. TJ Larbin, I know you've been thinking quite a bit about this. I'm going to go to you with this. What are your wish list items for MLB 15, the show?
First and foremost, obviously, revamped Road to the Show with some sort of story elements. Getting these emails is just not going to cut it these days when we get these awful voice-acted guys in NBA 2K15. At least they're trying. They're doing something. This man is 7 feet tall, and his couch comes about a foot and a half off the ground. I want that in MLB show. Like, just give me anything. Just give me, like, just take all the scenes from Moneyball where Jonah Hill interacts with a player and just paste those into MLB the show. Like, if I get traded, just sit me in the chair where fake Carlos Pena was and tell me I'm traded.
I mean,
even better, just put in clips from Moneyball. I mean, there you go.
I mean, all kidding aside, I mean, in my opinion, I've said it before, I love MLB the show, but whether it's a story mode or whether it's something different, yeah, Road to the Show needs an absolute overhaul. I could not agree more.
Yeah, that's got to go. Stupid but necessary positional depth charts in your franchise. I forget which baseball game used to have it, but I never want to see Jurickson Profar being the DH in my game, or who did I just add? I have Chris Carter playing left field when he's a first baseman, and he might maybe DH, but never is going to play left field in real life, probably. I would like some sort of GM franchise mode expansion where you can either create teams or have an expansion draft as like a new team with some stadium creation. That kind of stuff would be cool. Arizona Fall League, either for in franchise mode or for your Road to the Show. Cause that would be a nice little fun thing. I've actually been watching a lot of the Arizona Fall League games on MLB, MLB Network. Seems like a lot of fun.
Love that channel.
This is stupid, but I really want it in, unique minor league jerseys. All these minor league teams are having these great jersey nights. Like the Brooklyn Cyclones, I think, had like Nickelodeon 90s night or something. Their jerseys looked like they were from Double Dare. Some team had Gnome Night, and their jerseys looked like they had a huge beard. Let's get some of that fun stuff in. See, because right now when I'm playing franchise, there's absolutely no reason for me to be a minor league team. And I used to every once in a while be the Rays, only because the Durham Bulls were their AAA team. So I would go in every once in a while. I would play one minor league game as them.
That's right.
But if I had the choice to go be, you know, a zombie team, I would think about being that pro team that has that minor league team. I'll go down. I'll be like, you know what? I do have this guy that's in AAA or in AA. He's supposed to be good at some point. Let me go down there, see what it's all about. I think that would be fun. Quick counts, which I love because I've been using that exclusively for my my true 162. We're going to get through it, Rich. Don't worry about it. I would like some sort of thing at the beginning of an at-bat or for the next at-bat to just say, don't give me quick counts on this guy. I don't want a pitcher coming up with a runner on first and he has an 0-2 count when there's zero or one out, because I want a sack bunt. But if you give me an 0-2 count, obviously I can't do that, and I'm going to have a lot of anger. Billy Hamilton, I need him bunting every time he comes up. It's 0-2. It's not what I want. Faster load times. That would be great.
Yep.
My annual kill off Diamond Dynasty players in Diamond Dynasty. I think those taint the game. But who even plays Diamond Dynasty? Because the online in this game sucks, Rich.
Yeah, that's you know, that's number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Like, if all of a sudden the online just worked great, a lot of these other problems would be like, yeah, that's fine. But hey, let's go play online because it's fun.
Yeah, definitely. If they don't do anything, if they can just make online acceptable, and it was close to acceptable this year. We played a couple of games that didn't have problems for the first time in a decade. So
MLB 13 was actually the closest they've gotten, though. That was a pretty decent game online.
I reviewed 13, and it was playable. Like, I still wouldn't recommend it, you know, give it a blanket recommendation, but it was okay.
I think I played a lot of games of Diamond Dynasty in MLB 13.
Have we not been complaining about online since 2012?
Oh, we have.
2011? 2010?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I agree with TJ. If you do nothing else, which they won't, but if I was running MLB The Show, I would say, because the game is massive. Like, it's absolutely massive. If I could somehow just get, you know, top men who knew how to make this game work beautifully online, if someone could guarantee me that I can make that happen if you invest all the resources in it, I would say just do that. And that would be, I was like, hey, here's MLB 15, The Show. It's just as good as last year, but everything works online. I would personally be good with that. Sumit Sarkar, I know you've got some wish list items. What do you think about, what would you like to see out of MLB 15, The Show?
Well, man, I got to say, first off, you know, TJ got me thinking now about, you know, like NBA 2K15 having real athletes and terrible voice acting, because I went to a couple of Yankee games and they did this they do this thing on the scoreboard between innings where someone on the team will pronounce, like, say, here's a word in Spanish, or like they have like Carlos Beltran saying here's a word in Spanish, or, you know, Ichiro Suzuki saying here's a word in Japanese, and then they would have like a whole bunch of other players attempt to pronounce the word, and by that I mean like flail, like futilely attempt to pronounce the word, and then like Beltran would just be like, nice try, or whatever. And now I want that in Road to the Show now.
I think that the MLB The Show people just face palmed. Like, I could feel a disturbance in the force from here.
That's no, man, totally. If they could do that, like, just spend all your budget on that, bring in players and just record them pronouncing non-English words. Okay, but seriously, one thing that I cannot believe TJ did not mention is the commentary. Oh God, the commentary.
I turned that right off, so
yeah,
I don't
see,
even.
I took Pete Dodd's advice. I turned the commentary off and just listened to the ambient sounds of baseball, which is not just the crowd, but also like the umpire and the players on the field, and it's a spectacular experience.
Yeah. Yeah,
the fans are pretty
fun. It's not that bad. I mean, God, I've played Madden for X number of years. Nothing will get worse than that.
I think it's about as bad as Madden.
No, it's not.
No, it's pretty close. A lot of the, what's it, straight paint, 94 on the edge or something like that. I've heard them say that 1,000 times per game. It's so frustrating.
And that's why I just turned it off. Throw. But he gets him at first.
I just love how when you X past, you know, what he's saying, he's like, all right, so okay, I guess we're moving on.
Yeah. I think they added that like in 13 or I want to say. But yeah, like someone will be talking to us like, and we'll have to hold that thought.
We'll just leave that there. I've heard we'll just leave that there probably a couple thousand times.
Yeah,
too, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I really would love to see a whole new commentary team for that game, and really a lot of presentation sizzle. I think overall, you know, I can't see them, you know, purely because this is and not a team that has a massive budget behind them like VC does with NBA 2K. But, you know, so because of that, I don't think that they'll get any kind of partnership with a TV network or something, you know, like NBA Live has the ESPN integration and NBA 2K brought in the, Shaq and EJ this year. But some kind of just something to spice up the experience. I think, you know, for as amazing a simulation as MLB The Show offers, I've always considered it a much more sterile experience than some of the other sports games that are out there. And I think that makes it a little harder to get into for people who aren't like super fans of baseball. Again, as TJ was saying, certainly for Road to the Show, I'd like to see some big changes there. I think for me the because I leave the commentary on, that's something that I'd really like to see some focus on that in the presentation.
Anybody who knows me knows that I love MLB 14 The Show on the PlayStation 4. It is November and I'm playing it regularly. I love the baseball. I just love it. The players animate wonderfully. The crowd is terrific. It's a tough game. It plays like real baseball. Like, I go into slumps and then I get on hot streaks, and just sometimes for whatever reason, you know, Clayton Kershaw will just have a terrible game, but most of the time he's good. Like, occasionally I'll hit a big home run with my catcher in the bottom of the eighth who's hitting like 110, but like it does so many things well. And the reason that I'm playing MLB The Show in November is because we're doing an online franchise. And my thing with online franchise is, if you're going to do something, do it right. An online franchise is a tease. It's not fully fleshed. There's so many little things with online franchise that don't work. And I'm not even talking about the online play, right? I mean, TJ covered that well. But like, when you go into online franchise, like right now, I'm in the playoffs in the National League Championship Series. And whenever somebody comes up to bat to start the game, it shows their regular season stats and their zeros across the board. Because for whatever reason, it doesn't show you what the regular season stats were. It's little things like that. And we had a bunch of bugs happen in our online franchise where we had to restart it. And when for some reason, like, we couldn't finish the season. So, you know, they've made online franchise, but they haven't gone all the way to make it work, make it more stable, make the core things better, make it easier for people to play. Because in my opinion, there is nothing more fun than it's almost like being in your own little MMO. Like, I love the setup we have with online franchise, which is, okay, you've got TJ in the AL Central, you got Pete in the AL East, you got Gus in the NL East, you got me in the NL West, and you got Brian sometimes in the AL West. Like, we don't play each other a whole lot, but we're all playing in the same universe, so every game feels like it means something. So that's really my thing. Like, in addition to all of the stuff that we talked about, like, if you're going to do online franchise, let's go all the way and let's do it, and let's get it right. Because, boy, between online franchise and Diamond Dynasty, you know, if they could get that online core working, man, they would really be onto something there. But I just, you know, I speak from a place of love. I'm a huge MLB The Show fan. This year I've had more fun. I played more MLB The Show this year than I have since the original PSP came out and the first MLB game came out for that. And I played like three seasons on the train every day. A huge fan of the show. Lots of improvements they could make, but boy, if they get online franchise working right, it would be great. All right, last one real quick. This one comes from Kay Kadoski. He says, post-patch the golf club impressions. I'm loving it. Another game I love. I love the golf club. Just hopped into it today. I was on the treadmill, and I hopped into Gus Ramsey's Ramsey Invitational. Played 18 holes. Played terrible. Shot probably 8 or 9 over. I blame the treadmill for that, although I probably would have shot 8 or 9 over regardless. Brian Weedy, have you gone back into the golf club post-patch? And if so, any thoughts on it?
I have not. too much other stuff going on. But it's something I want to check out now. I'm interested to see how well it's developed, whether it's going to, you know, whether it's going to feel like something I feasibly can enjoy on the console. Because I just got to the point where I could only get 100% or 70% on a swing. So I was always overshooting or undershooting. And at that point, I was just like, I'm not sure I can deal with this anymore.
Christian, I know you have played the golf club. Is it still in your rotation? Have you played it post-patch? Where are you with the golf club right now?
Right now, I haven't played it in a few weeks, but I'm planning on going back to it. I know they've added new content and such, but just with the release calendar being what it is, it just gets so crazy. You just start playing, you know, game after game after game, and you kind of lose the games you really like to play. And then once you get into November and everything's kind of passed, you come back to the games you really like, and that's where I'm at right now, actually. I'm getting ready to come back to the golf club, and I can't wait because I guess we got a new theme and some new gameplay fixes and such. So I am definitely coming back to it. I just haven't gotten a chance yet.
Yeah, they made some significant changes, but they've also made a bunch of subtle little changes too. And you know, there's a couple more. They have a real nifty analytics page now too, so you can go and you can look at your stats. You can see, you know, how you improved and how you do on par fours and how you do on par fives and par threes. Like that, it's really interesting to watch this game evolve. It's a digital game. It's, you know, it's a true next gen thing. It's come from a small studio out of Nova Scotia, but you know, it's purely digital. They're doing it right. I am a huge fan of the golf club, and I'm a huge fan because it's just fun to play the golf. Like, the social stuff is great. Joining your friends in tournaments, playing them live, you know, everybody's walking around the course at the same time. That's all great. But, you know, if the golf itself weren't any good, you know, the rest of the stuff wouldn't matter. It is so fun, and it's frustrating because, you know, it's hard. But real golf is hard. And this isn't, I know Owen Good and I have had arguments over this. It's not nearly as difficult, in my opinion, as Owen Good makes it to be. But again, you're talking about a guy who shoots, you know, in the mid-80s more often than not. But, man, I have had some of the most rewarding times. When I make, like, a 30-foot putt and I knew that I lined it up right, and, you know, and it's all because I did it right. It's not because I have power-ups or it's not because I made my guy invincible. It's just because I have learned how to putt in this game, and I made it happen. Man, it's great. So I'm a huge fan of the golf club. Play it all the time. Hop in and play it regularly. And if you haven't checked out the golf club, I strongly recommend that you do. Well, all right, folks, we are out of time. I have had a great time tonight. I want to thank everybody that was on the show. On behalf of Chris Sanner from Operation Sports, Brian Weedy from Pasta Padre, Cat Bailey from US Gamer, Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, TJ Lowerman from That Sports Gamer, and Owen Good from Polygon. I am Rich Grisham. Thank you, as always. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. We ask that you please subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and the Windows phones. We also ask that you give us a rating. That really helps us a lot. We also ask that you please follow each of our panelists on Twitter, and they are as follows. Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good. Pasta Padre's Brian Weedy at Pasta Padre. Polygon's Sumit Sarkar at Sumit Sarkar. That Sports Gamer's TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer. US Gamer's Cat Bailey at @_CatBot. Operation Sports Chris Sanner at ChrisSNR. And Operation Sports Steve No at Steve_OS. And of course me, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it, and we really want to thank the great people at Operation Sports for making this show happen every single week. So thanks, and we'll see you again next time.